Let's turn here this morning back, actually kind of close to where we were last week, Matthew chapter 6. Right smack dab in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to start at verse number 5. Verse number 5. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Everybody has their place ahead of time. They must see it in the bulletin. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning. Verses 5 through 15 says this. These are the words of Jesus. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." Let's go to God in prayer. Father, our prayer this morning is about prayer. We're in this series, Lord, and we're going to be examining your scriptures for how to pray correctly. To do it by how your word is teaching us to do it. And Father, we want to pray as best as we can pray and learn how to do it your way, certainly not our way. So Father, with the scripture that we read here this morning, teach us how to do that. Use your word and many other words that are in this book to teach us to pray. May the words that I say here now, Lord, may they help us all in some way learn about praying. So, Father, I ask that you bless the words that I'm about to speak, that we can all grow from not only your scripture primarily, but from about what I'm about to say. To you be the praise and glory, Lord. You always get the praise and glory. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say this up front. I certainly hope that you're still excited about the sermon series on prayer, because the more I research this, the more I read what God's Word says about it, the more I learn, and the more I learn, the more I want you to learn. So I know we're going to go at least 2 more weeks after this, and maybe a little bit longer. But I promise that we should all learn more about prayer and be able to do it more effectively. Because James chapter 5 verse 16 says this, "The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective." King James, I believe, says, "The prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Same thing. And that's our goal in this series, to know that our prayers can be powerful and effective. But to make that happen, question, is there something that you need to change about our prayer life so that it can be powerful and effective? Week number 1, we ask this question, should we pray? And the simple answer to that is yes. God's word commands us to pray. 3 times in the scripture that I just read, Jesus says, when you pray, when you pray, when you pray. So obviously, we need to pray. Week number 2, does God actually hear us when we pray? Christians, we said this, that Christians could have intentional sin in our lives that could make God not listen to the prayers that we offer up to Him. So we need to be careful about intentional sin in our life. We need to be careful that we ask Him for forgiveness of those things. And then last week, we said this: do not pray publicly to bring attention to ourselves. And we also shouldn't use prayer as an avenue for gossip. And we shouldn't pray with meaningless repetition. Pretty much what Jesus just says right here, that we need to pray with a spirit of humility. So, summing up the first 3 weeks of the series, we know that we need to pray, number one. We know that our sin can become a snare in our prayer life, number two. And number three, we know that we should not be hypocritical in our prayers. So, what are we going to talk about here today? Well, this morning, let's talk about some basic issues. And maybe we should have covered these weeks ago. But let's answer this question. What is prayer? If I'm commanded by God that I need to pray, what is it that I need to do? Well, I give Webster's definition of prayer in your bulletin. And it says this. What is Webster's definition? It's an address as a petition to God, capital G, or a God, little g, in word or thought. Now, of course, we're only concerned about the big G God, right? Because that's the one that we serve, the big G God. It's an address or a petition that we give to the God that we serve. So, from a Christian or a biblical standpoint, we can say that prayer is communication with God. We talk to Him, and He communicates through the Spirit that resides in us back to us. We have the privilege, as children of God, to crawl up on His lap and talk to Him. Just think, we can talk to God. We can call Him Abba, Father. Hebrews 4:16 says this: let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Just think, we can approach God. We are not only commanded to pray, but we can approach God's throne of grace, what does it say? With confidence. With confidence. We can go to God with confidence. So let's back up and ask another question. So what is the content of this communication that I'm going to have with God? If we're going to say biblically or scripturally speaking is communication with God, what should I say if I'm going to pray? I'm going to tell you something that we all know. We live in a society here in 21st century America where it's all about me, isn't it? Isn't it? Who's the first person we like to take care of? Me. And I don't mean Mike. I mean you. You. You take care of you. I take care of me. Right? Are our prayers also centered on me? I'll admit that sometimes, maybe more than I'd like to say, my prayers are all about me. What I want. What's best for me? What's going on wrong in my life that He needs to fix? You ever been there? We all have. We're all guilty of it. Here's an example. Hey God, it's me again. Mike Owen. And here's what I need today, God. You ready? Well, you know, I got this son he's going down the road of destruction. And I'll tell you what you need to do. Can you smack him on the side of the head and just make him fly right? Okay? That's what I need. How about this one? And God, my car is on its last leg. Can you just touch that oil pan the way that you do and just make that thing quit leaking? Okay? Because I got oil all over my driveway and I'm not going to be able to drive that car too much longer. I need you to fix that thing for me. And could you please relieve this pain that I got in my back? Oh my goodness, it's aching. You know it's aching. Come on, you need to do something. Just, how about this? I'll meet you halfway. Make sure I don't run out of Aleve, okay? That's all I want. Just make sure I don't run out of some Aleve. And since I got your ear, and since I know you're listening, I need a raise of pay at work, okay? So I want you to go to my boss, kind of knock on his head, and tell him he needs to give Mike Allen a pay raise. And tell him it's because I deserve one. Do we ever do that? I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for ourselves, because I do, and I bet you do too. And I'm not saying that it's wrong to pray for others. And we should. We should pray for others. We should pray for ourselves. But let's remember that Matthew chapter 6, verse 8 tells us this, and I read it this morning, that our Father knows what we need before we ever ask Him. So praying for ourselves is not wrong. But I don't believe it should be our priority in praying. Let's look at the model prayer as taught by Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. Because what I want to do here this morning is point out what Jesus thought and what He taught were the priorities in our prayer life. Now, we would call this the Lord's Prayer. And back in my Catholic days, we used to call this the Our Father, because those are the first two words, Our Father. Actually, if you look at it, it's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer, isn't it? If you go to the same thing in Luke chapter 11, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And if you really want to know what the Lord's Prayer is, go to John chapter 17. This is really the disciples' prayer, but we call it the Lord's Prayer. But what did Jesus think were our priorities when we pray? Remember, if we're going to pray and do it right, what did Jesus teach us? And remember, what He teaches us here is just a model prayer. It's an example, or it's a pattern that we need to follow. It's as if Jesus gives us the skeleton of a prayer, and it's up to us to add the substance to it. So the first question I know that might be on your mind, well, Mike, is it okay to pray this prayer? Is it okay if we just pray? Of course it is. Many people pray it all the time. But I don't think Jesus, that was His intent when He taught us this. Because He says this in verse number 9. He says, in the NIV says, "This then is how you should pray." Although I like the New King James version of that much, much better. Because the New King James says this, "In this manner, therefore, pray." In this manner. Again, it's a framework that Jesus has given us on which we hang our own words. So, I could get real theological and take many of the key words that Jesus uses in this disciples' prayer here, and I could talk at length about them, but this morning, and while I was preparing for this past week, I just felt like the Spirit of God just telling me, He just kept on pulling me back. Mike, keep it simple. Mike, keep it simple. You want simple this morning? Let's do simple, okay? Can we do simple? Let's do simple. Amen. There we go. Yeah, that's right. So I'm glad that you're okay with simple. I'm going to sum up this prayer that He gives us here, verses 9 through 13, and I'm going to sum it up in a very childlike manner, okay? Let's keep it that simple that even a Christian could understand it this morning. A four-year-old, a three-year-old could understand it. So let's take the context of what Jesus is teaching, and remember, it's just a model prayer, and we are going to put the substance on it here this morning, okay? And really, the substance that we put on it is going to be up to you. If we want our prayers to be powerful and effective, we must remember that we need to follow this model prayer of Jesus. And I believe the word that I come up with is the word tip, T-I-P. And this morning, we're going to take a tip from Jesus. As you could probably know where I'm going with this, each letter stands for something, right? And we're going to keep this simple. And if you have a simple mind, like I got a simple mind, you probably already know what the T and the I and the P stand for. So here we go. We're going to take Jesus' model prayer and take a tip from Jesus. And the T, what does the T stand for? Thank you. Thank you. You notice this model prayer that Jesus gives us begins with acknowledging God. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You notice the first couple statements there, they're all about God. So what does that tell us if we're going to use this as a model prayer? Who comes first in our prayer life? It's not what we want. How about Him? How about if God comes first? How about if He comes first and we don't? How about if we say this? We know this. Jesus is telling us this, that He's our Father. And I found nice about that is He's not my Father, just my Father. And He's not just your Father. He's who? He's our Father. We have something in common, my friends. We have the same spiritual daddy. Isn't that good? That's good. He's our Father. And He's in heaven. And His name is holy. And He is holy. And His kingdom's going to come back when Jesus comes back. Or we could say the kingdom is within us right now. We could say that, and that would be biblically accurate. And His will's going to be done on earth here as it is in heaven. So let me ask, if the model prayer starts off with God, do we begin our prayers with acknowledging God? Do we take time to give God praise and thanksgiving? Psalm 13:6 says this, I will sing the Lord's praise, for He has been good to me. Is there anybody else in here besides me who God has been good to? Okay. Every hand better have gone up. He's been good to us. And the psalmist says this, I'm going to sing the Lord's praise. So if prayer is communication with God, maybe we ought to start by saying, God, thank you for what you have given us. So let's take time in our prayer to say, thank you. How simple is that? Thank you. And I believe, you know, a lot of times in the Bible, the word praise and thanks kind of go hand in hand. And I think this is a good time for that. We give God praise. We give God thanks for how good He has been to us. And let's remember, He is our heavenly Father. Father. Ooh, this is going to get a little sticky. Maybe for some people. What is a real father like? Ooh. This is tough. Because when we think of our heavenly Father, what comes to mind? Our earthly Father. And I don't know what's going through your mind about the man in your life who said he was your father. Maybe you didn't even have one. Maybe you had an absentee father. Maybe your father was the greatest person on the face of this earth. That would be wonderful. But I guarantee fathers go from this extreme to this extreme, and your father's in here somewhere. Maybe the greatest guy on the face of this earth. Maybe the worst father imaginable, and you wish you would have never met him. But Jesus says this in Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. And we're talking about heavenly fathers here now. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? I believe the Father in heaven is just waiting for us to give us good things. And we're going to talk more about that next week. Do you ever wonder what Jesus prayed for? Well, we get a glimpse of that in John chapter 17. And I would highly suggest that you read that sometime today or this week. This entire chapter is Jesus that He's praying right after the Last Supper. And how does He begin His high priestly prayers, what that's called in chapter 17? He begins that prayer with Jesus giving glory to the Father. He starts off his own prayer with his own model prayer. And that is what our model teaches us. Let's give God the praise and glory in our prayer time. Let's not leave that out. So T, thank you, God. We're going to keep us childlike. So what does the I stand for? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Told you we're going to keep it simple. We're sorry for what? Sorry for my sins. Sorry for those things that I've thought. Sorry for those things that I've done. Sorry for those words that I said. And how do I know that that's in the prayer? Because it says, forgive us our trespasses. How simple can this be? I'm sorry, Lord. Can you forgive me? Remember, in our second week in this series, we talked about confessing our sins in a genuine way because we wanted God to hear us. And we asked that question, does God hear us? And we said, not if there's intentional sin and not if we're not confessing those sins. The Bible tells us that God can decide not to hear us if we worship idols, if we are religious and just going through the motions, if we do not listen to the law and obey it, or if we mistreat our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We discussed that at length in week number 2. And I also said in that week, we need to have parental righteousness. And what did I mean by that? Well, I said this. Well, we have judicial righteousness. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus, right? We are forgiven. But sometimes we need parental righteousness. I know my mother and father always loved me, but sometimes they didn't always like me. Okay? And if you're a parent, and that means you have children, sometimes you always love your children, but sometimes you didn't like them, right? Sometimes they just needed cleaned up a little bit. They're just some parts of their life they just need to clean up their act. And we referred that back to John 13, where Jesus was washing the feet. And Peter says, well, wash my whole body. And Jesus says, Peter, you don't need your whole body washed. But sometimes we do need our feet washed. Sometimes we just need to get that clean. And sometimes we need to go in our time of prayer. Let me backtrack. In our time of prayer, we need to go in our and say this, Lord, clean my feet because they're dirty. Psalm 51 verse 2 says this, wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. And I believe a very big part of that forgiveness, that cleansing from God, that foot washing, so to speak, is found in verses 14 and 15 of Matthew chapter 6. And he says this, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Let me just sum that up by saying this. Perhaps our prayers are not powerful and effective because we fail to forgive others when they have wronged us. T, thank you, God. I'm sorry, Lord. And then P, if you haven't figured it out, let's bring ourselves down to our, first grade level. Please. Please. In the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread. We are asking for God's provision. When we say, lead us not into temptation, we are asking for God's pathway. And when we say, deliver us from the evil one, we ask for God's protection. His provision, his pathway, and his protection. Please? Sounds like our just some basic physical and spiritual needs. Please? But should it stop with just those three things? And I, for one, was going to say no. Remember, this is a model prayer, and we're going to add the substance to it. I believe it is perfectly acceptable to God to ask Him for what we need. Father, will you please bring healing into my child's body? There is absolutely nothing wrong with that. Father, will you please take care of me? And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And we're going to talk more about those things next Sunday. But today I just wanted to bring forward and present this to you. Today I believe we just need to take a tip from Jesus if our prayers are going to be powerful and effective. I hope part of that prayer is thanking T and praising God. I hope part of that prayer is I telling God that you're sorry and confessing your sins to Him in a genuine manner. I believe we need to get our prayer priorities in order to make our prayers powerful and effective. T, thank you, God, for all that you do in my life. I'm sorry, God, for all the sins that I have so foolishly committed. And P, please, God, this is really what I need in my life right now. Jesus has given us the model. Now it's up to us to add the substance. Let's go to God in prayer.